Hello and welcome. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and this is Radio Free Gaming Presents This Week in Defunct Games. I'm, of course, joined by my co-host, Wes Grogan.
Wait, this is This Week in Defunct Games?
This is This Week in Defunct Games.
I
know, this seems kind of odd, because usually we record these midweek, and then they go up Thursday morning, but that's not the case this time around. Because of scheduling problems, because of the fact that, I mean, let's face it, E3 is this week. I'm not going to be around to actually do a podcast, so we're doing this on Sunday afternoon, and that's considerably early for something like that.
Yeah, I was just calling to see if you needed anything from the store while I was out.
The problem, of course, is that since this is Sunday, we don't actually know what's happening tomorrow and on Wednesday when it comes to the Virtual Console and when it comes to the Xbox Live Arcade. We can speculate. We do know that a couple of weeks ago, NEC, or Hudson, as it were, announced that they were going to release a bunch of new games in July for the TurboGrafx on the Virtual Console, and some of those included Arizonk, China Warrior, which we already talked about, and Devil's Crush. So I'm hoping that it's either going to be Arizonk or Devil's Crush Monday, this week. And if that's the case, then I'm prepared to talk about it, because I love both of those games.
Of course, it could just as easily be some crappy game even we've never heard of.
Absolutely. One of the games... Let's see, do I have this queued up here? One of the games is Silent Debuggers. Have you ever played that? I've never even heard of that.
I've not heard of that one, actually, which is saying a lot.
Yeah. No, it's apparently by Data East. And then the other one is a puzzle game called Drop Off.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's neither of those because, you know, I know nothing about those games, and I want to have a little time before I actually have to write about them.
Think of it as a challenge.
But, let's say that it's Arizonk, or let's say that it's Devil's Crush. Let's just do a quick one of these. You have any thoughts on Arizonk?
Yeah, not enough people have played it.
This is... Again, another one of those great, great shooters for the TurboGrafx-16. The system had just a ton of them, and Arizonk has so much personality. It's one of my favorites. You kind of get lost because a lot of people sort of passed it up because it was everybody was kind of sick of Bonk by that time. But it does a good job of adding a lot of character to a two-dimensional shoot 'em up. And then on the other side, there's Devil's Crush, which I think is easily one of my favorite TurboGrafx-16 games of all time.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad time with it yet. You know, I break it out every now and then and play it again, and it's always fun.
When Alien Crush came out a couple of months ago, I guess it is. I was wondering when we'd see Devil's Crush. And you know, it's actually funny because those two games are great because they're stuff you can't do on a regular like arcade cabinet or on a pinball machine. And just a couple of weeks ago, we posted, or maybe it was this weekend, we posted a review of, I think it was called Mile High Pinball.
The N-Gage game.
Right, which I had never heard of and never played. Who did that? He's going to hate me for not knowing. It's Josh. Dolan's did that. After reading his review and looking at the pictures, I'm telling you, that's actually a game I really want to play. I don't own an N-Gage. Maybe I should pick one up.
for that?
Well, but the concept's really cool, though. All you're doing is you got like 100 levels, and you're just trying to get the ball as high up into those levels as you possibly can.
Yeah,
that sounds really cool, and just like that sounds like a fantastic portable game. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I understand.
Anyhow, so the reason that we're doing this so early, we're doing this on Sunday, is because. Pretty much tomorrow, I'm heading out to Southern California, where it promises to be sunny, hot, and probably a little smoggy. Actually, you know what? It's in Santa Monica this year, so I doubt it will be smoggy. It's that we got the ocean air coming in, and it may not even be that hot. I'm actually kind of excited about this change of venue. So,
well, it's bound to be better than Atlanta.
Yeah. So what we figured is, because tomorrow we have a big history of E3 article going up.
Wait, tomorrow Monday?
No, tomorrow Friday. Tomorrow for the people that are listening to this.
Okay, gotcha.
This is going to be the most confusing podcast ever. So since tomorrow Friday, we have a big history of E3 article going up. And because, of course, we've got just a ton of E3 stuff happening all week long, or, you know, so you should have already been seeing it. We figured that what we'd do is we'd talk a little bit about E3. Not so much about what we expect to see at this year's E3, though. I don't know, maybe if we have enough time, we'll go into that. But mostly about the history and talk about it then and now and see, you know, maybe this new resized, relocated version will actually be worth it. So
yeah, kind of talk about why E3 was started and why it was stopped.
Yeah. So let's go back to the very, very beginning, which is not all that long ago. It's about 15 or 16 years ago or whatnot. And, you know, all of these companies back in the day needed a way of showing off their wares and getting the information out into the public consciousness. Also getting people to distribute their games.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they went to the one place where every consumer electronic product goes, and that's the Consumer Electronics Show, which is held in two locations twice a year. There's the winter and summer Consumer Electronics Show. The problem,
because
though,
they like to keep it really confusing.
Yes. The problem, though, is that the CES, which, you know, has just a ton of, I mean, that's where the DVD players were announced. That's where, you know, satellite radio came from. That's where a lot of car stereos and car technology and whatnot, and just a lot of, you know, these sort of products come out. But video games were kind of given the shaft. They were put in this big tent, sort of out of the way. And nobody that, you know, you could completely miss the video game section if you were just looking at car stereos and whatnot.
Yeah, they wanted to do everything they could to not acknowledge the video games.
So
it's like they were never forgiven for the crash.
So we got this big tent where Nintendo, Sega, SNK, and really any other major company could go and show off their stuff. This was actually, even though it was in a smaller section, was kind of a circus, just like, you know, what E3 ended up becoming. Every company would spend millions of dollars, I suspect millions of dollars, to make a bigger and better display. I know that, you know, Sega would come out with Muhammad Ali and hundreds of televisions just in this big booth, and then Nintendo for the virtual, or for both the Virtual Boy introduction and the Star Fox introduction, they used this big geodesic dome that looked like it cost a pretty penny. And these, you know, everybody was trying to outdo each other. It was this loud area, but it was also one of those things where you never really knew what you were going to get. It didn't make a whole lot. I mean, it wasn't as focused as what E3 would later become. And so the CES went for many years, and all the magazines and all the journalists went. And around, what was it, 95 or 96?
95, I believe.
Yeah, the companies started to decide that this, you know, they needed their own thing. They didn't like to be pushed off into the corner. They needed their own thing. So the ESA created the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
Yeah, but it wasn't quite that cut and dry. There was also the CESI that was competing with E3 to begin with. They there was going to be a spin-off CES show that Nintendo signed on for right away, but then they quickly realized that, you know, other than them and Microsoft, nobody had signed up for it, so they gave up.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things about CES, before we move on to E3, one of the most famous debuts, actually, was Tomb Raider that showed up at CES.
Yep, yep.
Running on, like, one computer monitor back in the back in the middle of nowhere, and everybody almost missed it, which was kind of funny. It was just, it was so easy to get overlooked when they were at CES.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went to three consumer electronics shows in my back in the 1990s, and all three of them were, I mean, they were all entertaining, and I loved the Vegas atmosphere. I never went to any of the other, you know, I only went to Vegas for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, most of my memories from CES are of things that, like, if I were to tell them, nobody would be interested in. Like, I spent literally hours at the You Don't Know Jack booth.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because they, you know, the game was complete at this time. I think that they didn't even have a distributor. They were just trying to get people to you know, play it and get it distributed. And, you know, it was a lot of fun because they had, you know, lines of people. And they weren't even in the video game section. They had lines of people that were just ready to, you know, three people at a time to come on and play. And then, you know, those people would play, and then they'd just go right to the back of the end of the, or to the end of the line. And then they'd, you know, it would just be this rotating, these rotating people that had so much fun playing this game. And that's what I remember from C, is that, and I remember when the Super Mario Brothers movie, when Nintendo was first showing that off. I don't even think it hadn't come out at the time. And so they were showing off, like, the technology they used, which was, you know, mostly, you know, these what was it, a Goomba? That was, like, 7 feet tall.
Yeah, the dinosaur Goombas.
Right. Yeah, so they had the dude dressed up like that with sort of a mechanical head. And he was walking around, and that's just ridiculous stuff. Or was it the, I think it was the 94 one, when Sega should have been showing off the Saturn, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
They were mostly showing off their, you know, all the stuff they had for the Genesis and Sega CD and, well, 32X at the time. And the only Saturn that anybody had was at the, I think it was Die Hard Game Fan booth.
Yeah, I think that was the only one.
It's these little memories like that I remember, that I, you know, they're fun little memories, but still, I don't know. It's not the same as what E3 ended up becoming. And, you know, it was a lot more innocent time back then too. I remember them talking up just all sorts of stuff about the you know, the Nintendo 64, which would never debut at the CES.
Yeah.
And you know, Silicon Graphics, or whatever, the SGI.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
had this booth that had the technology and this big supercomputer that, you know, looked impressive, but, you know, looking back at it now, it's all pretty silly. My favorite, and I'm sure we've been over this in past podcasts, but my favorite memory of the CES was actually the Virtual Boy. Was that 90? It was either 94 or 95. The Virtual Boy came out in 95, so it must have been that, because it happened in January. So it was the first unveiling of the Virtual Boy in the U.S. And I mean, up until then, we had seen pictures of it, we had heard about it, but we didn't have a clue what it was. And, you know, so there was this huge, like, Nintendo Wii style line, waiting for people, you know, to come in, and they hauled us all in, about 30 people at a time, and we all got to check out, it must have been 10, maybe 15 games. They were all, you know, that Mario Brothers remake, the Mario Clash, anyway, the tennis game, golf game, Telro boxing, stuff like that. Yep. And so we waited in line for like 2 hours. Before going in, they gave us this packet of information. Of course, we couldn't read because it was too damn dark in there. So we put our heads into the Virtual Boy, and we started playing this thing for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, and then they kicked us out. and we were all just dumbfounded. We didn't have a clue what the hell this thing was. I mean, you know, we were so excited going in because this is a new Nintendo console. We were all excited. This was going to be, you know, it's from the guy who created the Game Boy, so it's got to be good. And just the puzzled look we all had as we came out of that. No smiles. There's just this, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, look. Apparently the most quoted line when they revealed the Virtual Boy and everybody started trying it for the first time was, what the hell?
Yeah. And then to make matters even worse is that we were all puzzled, and then some guy just way off in the distance who had been there, he was finally opened up his packet of information that Nintendo gave him, and I guess he noticed the price.
Yeah,
because he just all of a sudden we were just puzzled, the silence, and then all of a sudden we heard just out of nowhere, $180 for this thing. and then everyone scrambled to look through their packet, and yeah, I mean it was a mess, and we couldn't believe it, and that's when I started to doubt Nintendo.
Yeah,
I you know, Nintendo has done a good job of usually doing the right thing. I say usually.
Well, they really showed their fallibility with that one.
Yeah, and then this—the fact that this came right before the Nintendo 64, which I consider to be another disaster.
Yeah,
I think this is—it's all just very weird. I just to this day I don't really know what to think of the Virtual Boy. I don't. $180 is a lot of money to spend on the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, then on the same hand, a few months later, it was $50 in the bargain bin.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't take long for the price to go down. Sony.
Well,
sorry, had something in my throat there.
So, those are some of my memories about the Consumer Electronics Show. But
and then it all changed.
Yeah, yeah. We got our own. We got our own convention. And it moved from Las Vegas to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and there was a lot of doubt at the beginning as to whether or not the industry was big enough to be able to really support it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it was held at the Los Angeles Convention Center, right there smack dab in downtown Los Angeles. And that's where it stayed for a couple of years as, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people filed in to check out the newest games and announcements. That's where we saw the introduction of pretty much all of the new consoles from the, Nintendo 64 on. And then for a couple years, it moved over to Atlanta, Georgia.
Whoops.
Yeah, Hotlanta, which...
Yeah, that's a really bad call on their part.
Oh, absolutely. And the problem, of course, is that even though, you know, some people on the East Coast probably preferred this because it was closer, it was a really much different atmosphere and mood, and nobody really, really liked it. I mean, it was a cramped location, and... It was difficult to get in and out of area, and it was too hot for what they were trying to do. It was a miserable, miserable failure.
Yeah, and even beyond that, there's the whole aspect of it wasn't the same thing. I mean, when you think the video game industry, most of it is on the West Coast.
Absolutely.
You know, so it might make two or three companies happy, but it ignores the other 80. Luckily, yeah. It only lasted a little bit, and they went right back to where they were.
Yeah, only lasted 2 years, and then they went right back to the Los Angeles Convention Center, where it stayed until last year. And now, I've been to the last five E3s, well, from 2002 up to, well, this year, so that'll be my sixth one.
Yeah.
And it grew a little bit from 2002. But let me tell you, I mean, the E3 of the last couple of years was just a circus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started sort of modestly, and it just became this huge event that was easy for people to get into, it kind of lost a lot of its meaning. But before we get into the negatives, let's talk a little bit about this circus atmosphere. This thing was loud.
Oh, yeah, you could not... I mean, you could barely even talk to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this place was loud. Every booth... Just imagine this, if you will. Every booth is trying to outdo everybody else. So as the thing starts, they have their you know, music, you know, just blaring. And then they hear... The next booth over, they hear their music, which is also blaring, and so they need to turn it up a little bit more, so that they're going to drown out their competition, and their competition does exactly the same thing. So by the end of the week, you know, things are it's like a Metallica concert, and that's not too far off, because they actually had concerts in the E3 event.
Oh yeah,
they had Michelle Branch. And I think the band was called Cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
the whole Laser Light Show and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Both of those played at the Midway booth. I think in 2003, it was for the Spy Hunter game.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the they brought bands out to do rock concerts. You know, right next to, you know, other all of these booths that were trying to compete with that. It's there's just no way. It was stunningly loud.
It got to the point that it wasn't even about promoting your show or your game. It was about promoting your booth.
Absolutely, yeah. The booth was the thing, and you God, some of those booths by you know last year by 2006 were so immaculate that it was just it's hard to even describe. I mean, the Microsoft booth last year was larger than some people's houses, and it was like several stories.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and there was, you know, half of it was meeting rooms so that you could get away somewhat, get away from the noise. But, but a lot of it was, you know, just these little PlayStation, that's the wrong wording, play space stations.
There you go.
that you know, where you could play all of their games. But it was so large and almost unneeded, and they only did that because there were so many people there.
Yeah,
and I mean there were 60,000-70,000 people, of which maybe 10,000 really should have been there.
Yeah, actually had like an effective role in it. The rest of it is just somebody going to see the circus.
Absolutely, and it makes complete sense. I mean, as a movie fan, I really want to go to Cannes.
Yeah,
I really want to go to the Cannes Film Festival. I really want to go to Sundance, but at the same time, I realize that there are people that go to those things. That go to Sundance for a reason. People go to Sundance. You know, the people that are supposed to be at Sundance are the filmmakers and the film distributors.
Yeah,
they're you know it's young and you know smaller movies, young filmmakers and smaller movies that are trying to get their games seen. And then the distributor's trying to find cheap movies that they can make some money off of. That makes sense to me. But apparently nobody realized that that's what was going on with E3, because all of these people, you know, 90% of the people didn't belong there. They were,
celebrities showing up with their entourages.
Well, the celebrities were fine.
But, you know, they bring along these little kids, and then other people just sneak in. And they got complete insanity.
And that's the problem, is it all over the place. It says no one under 18 permitted. I mean, even little children. I mean, like, even if you just had a baby, you're leaving that baby at home with the babysitter.
Yeah.
But no. But every year we'd see, you know, some 8-year-old walking around.
Oh yeah.
They didn't even play by their rules. So it makes absolutely no sense to me. And they had badges. I mean, clearly when they went to pick up the badge, the guy, you know, Mr. Black, should have looked down and said, "Hey, you're 8. You're not 18.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like they were fooling anybody.
Yeah, it's not like a teenager. It's not like, you know, someone who, you know, a 16-year-old who just might be. You know, it's a little, you know, Emmanuel Lewis like looking dude. I guess that's mean, isn't it?
No, you're all right.
Dude, you know, wanting to get in. He shouldn't get in. And neither should the GameStop and Best Buy employees.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have any other purpose there either. Yeah,
they're there just to play the new games.
Yeah.
That's it. They're not there to cover it. They're not going to, I mean, going back, they're not going to go back and make any educated, in, you know, they're not going to be any more educated going back and selling games for minimum wage. I mean, they could get all that information from going to GameSpot or going to IGN or 1UP or defunct games.
That's a big reason why they've changed all of that now.
Absolutely.
You're able to digitally distribute downloads to the consoles, or, you know, news coverage has gotten a lot better than it used to be. The internet's really changed everything.
But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. The games, the demos that are digitally distributed on Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network, neither of those platforms is going to have the same thing that the people that go down there will be playing.
They will be
different versions of demos that are, you know, like the what was the Capcom game that everyone wanted last year? The snow one.
Oh, Lost Planet.
Lost Planet. God, I don't know why I keep forgetting the name of that. Lost Planet, that was the big, you know, download last year. But that was a little different at E3 than it was, you know. And if they want to be transparent, they should just go ahead and give us all the stuff. They should go ahead and let everyone play Too Human and see just how terrible that was.
So, oh, yeah.
I guarantee that thing's not at E3 this year.
Well, again, that's where you take advantage of the internet news distribution.
Absolutely.
Before. You know, so they might slip in a different demo, but, I mean, that's going to come out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I have no doubt that it needed to change just because, one, it wasn't working, and two, it was out of date anyway. There are better ways to get the word out now. So, I don't know that they have the right solution to it, but...
No, I think they've gone a little too far.
And
I mean, like I said, of the 70,000 people that were going, maybe 10,000 of them should have been there.
And now they've cut that in half to 5,000.
It's not even 5,000. I'm hearing 3,000 to 4,000.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, there's, you know, it's a very small select group. And I have absolutely no idea how they even selected those people. You know, other websites have suggested that the game companies voted on people.
But you're not totally sure how you got invited.
I have absolutely no idea. I suspect it has more to do with what there's probably a couple of tiers. Like the first tier were the people that that decided to, or that had been there like the last few years. Like the media that had been there the last few years, so they've obviously gotten in all those years, and they deserve to have an invite.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe the for the newer companies or for the newer publications, maybe then that's when things started to get voted on by the companies, because I don't think that Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft, or any of the other companies said, hey, you know who should come? Defunct Games should come. I don't think that's the case. I wish that was the case, but
I'm not totally sure how they do it, and it would be really good on their part if they actually put the word out on how they decided.
Right, and you know, and at the same time, it's bizarre because I listen to people on other podcasts, you know, talking about how they didn't even get invited. Colin Campbell, for example, isn't going. The editor over at Next Generation Online. He's not going.
Yeah.
He didn't get an invite. And, you know, and there are plenty of other people from IGN and 1UP and GameSpot that didn't get invited. So it's, and of course, you can't, it's non-transferable. So even if you get invited but you can't go, you can't give that to somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
So
I'm wondering if they gave the invite to the company and then the company decided which of their individual employees would go.
Right. That would make sense.
Yeah. Like, here are 5 for GameSpot, here's 5 for IGN. You
right,
know?
Right. Well, geez, they'd need more than 5 for GameSpot.
Well, yeah.
Because I tell you, I went to the THQ party the other, you know, a few on March 1st, because it was a few months ago now, and I'm telling you, there were at least 8 GameSpot editors just at that little party.
That's amazing.
That may have more to do with the fact that was in San Francisco, so it was just down the street from them. But still, I mean... And none of them drank. That must be a thing at Cena. They must not be able to drink at GameSpot on the job. They're like cops.
Well, hey, if you work for Defunct Games, you can drink.
Yes, yes, and and we did. And hell, you know, and we probably will, you know, I'm probably, as you're listening to this on Thursday, I'm probably drunk right now.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
So
I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
So I think, but most of E3, even though it's been downsized and it's been changed, most of it's pretty much the same. We get three different, conferences, the Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony ones. And, you know, and then we also get to play the games. Of course, everybody else gets a conference this year, too. I mean, there's an EA conference, a Midway one, Konami, so on and so forth. And so that's all cool, but, yeah, I'm excited to see what this is all about, what all those conferences, I can understand Sony or Nintendo or Microsoft talking about something for an hour, but does Ubisoft really need an hour to go through all their Tom Clancy games?
Well, I don't know. They're innumerable.
Yeah.
Make a few of them, that's all it'll take, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I suspect that it's going to be like 45 minutes of them explaining what you have to say into the microphone to get End War to work.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that? The one where you, it's the real-time strategy game where you don't even touch the control, or it's all voice commands?
That's just not a good idea.
Yeah, especially when you see, you know, Microsoft had that problem a couple of years ago where they were showing the voice commands for their Vista operating system.
That went so well.
and I can just imagine the same things going to happen at this convention. I can see, and that's my prediction. It by the time you're hearing this, it has already happened. So you go download that video on some website and see if I was right.
Well, you know what my prediction is.
What's your prediction?
I'm betting that at some point, Mitch Gittleman will walk up to you and say, "I'm the reason why you got invited." Yeah.
Yes.
I'm betting right now he's sitting there thinking, "I invited that bastard.
I can't wait to punch him."
So that's my prediction. That and... I'm thinking Dawn Gilbert's probably going to show up at some point. I think she's giving a keynote address.
She's taking Kaz's spot.
She's giving a conference on game creation.
So that's one of the things that there isn't going to be at this E3 is there's not going to be any of sort of the workshop and conferences that are not, you know, game company conferences. All the E3s in the past have had these sort of workshop roundtable style conferences where, you know, they talk about, you know, violence, or they talk about, you know, the stuff that you might get at the game developers conference, actually.
Yeah. And so I guess they'll leave all of that at GDC now.
Yeah. So that's going there, and a month later to the Penny Arcade Expo, PAX, which we will also be at. Probably won't have a history of PAX.
Well, they have the, there's not much to talk about, really.
It came, and then it grew in size.
Yeah, these two guys did a comic, and people liked it.
Yes.
The end.
An extremely unfunny comic.
Yeah, I've not gotten into it as much as most people.
Now, I see that you can now download those comics off of Steam.
Oh,
and they're talking about being able to download them off of Xbox Live Arcade now as well.
You know, it's funny, bands do that, and it's called sellout.
Yeah, yeah.
That's rather funny.
But bands are selling out on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, and if you don't
like Marketplace,
they do that all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you don't like the Penny Arcade Expo, which, you know, I don't blame you.
No. There's a difference. Penny Arcade, I don't find funny. That's just my personal opinion. Penny Arcade Expo is amazing.
But it's their right if they don't want to do that. I mean, you're supporting one specific thing, which is Penny Arcade, regardless.
No, I disagree with that, because I think that, you know, when you went to that, I mean, there were so many different conferences to listen to and so many different roundtable discussions, and none of them, there was the main one or two that had to do with Penny Arcade. I didn't even go to those. But, yeah, like, but like, what, I mean, that, you know, conferences about classic gaming, conferences about, you know, like I said, violence in gaming, about the PR, how PR works, stuff like that. These are things that are actually really interesting to talk about.
Okay, well, yeah, I could give you that then. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and besides that, there's plenty of game competitions, little tournaments all throughout it. I mean, we had a lot of fun. I got to ask, did you watch our Penny Arcade PAX in 15 minutes video that we posted?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
I even entered the contest and apparently lost.
Yes, sorry. you did. You entered the contest?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I have all those entries. I have to go back and look at that and see. Yeah, what, did you request what conference you suggested? What round it?
I don't remember offhand.
Oh, man, I got to go back and look.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, okay. So, I bet that gives you your gives your address too.
It might.
I can
yeah.
Mail bomb you.
Oh, good. That hasn't happened in a while. I've been waiting for that.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, there are definitely other conventions that are sort of taking the place of the big convention. Like, you know, like we said, PAX, Leipzig, in Germany, the
Europe one, which is the officially branded one.
Yeah. Tokyo Game Show, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Space World, don't hold your breath on.
So, I mean, all these things are, you know, are taking the place of E3 to a certain extent. But E3 this year is still important, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I think that we're still going to see a lot of announcements. I think we're still going to see a lot of really great games. And I think it's still going to be just a lot of fun. And honestly, part of it for me is that I just want to go down and see a lot of the friends that I have that I never get to see anywhere else. A lot of the yeah. peers in the industry that work at other websites, magazines, that work for G4, stuff like that. I mean, I hate to name drop G4. It's not Tommy Tallarico, I'll tell you that much. I'm not going down there to see that douche. I'm going down there to, you know, to see my buddies at... That write for X Play, not Tommy Tallarico, not Adam Sessler, and not G4 is really really lame.
it's bad.
So
yeah, it's not good.
That's what you get. And part of the problem I have, and this goes back to the old E3, is that you don't get the same amount of cool smaller stuff this year, because this year it looks like all the companies are these really really big, you know, they're the Electronic Arts, the Ubisoft, the Activision, which I hear is outdoing Electronic Arts for being the biggest publisher right now. You know, it's the Capcoms, the Konamis, it's all of these major companies, it's not the little guys. And it's you know, and I think that's unfortunate, because there were a lot of really smaller, you know, a lot of smaller companies that showed off some really cool stuff the last few years. I mean, that's certainly how we saw, or how we were introduced to Guitar Hero.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with, I forgot about that. That was displayed down there, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that was at Kintia Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, and that's one of the things I'm absolutely going to miss, is Kintia Hall.
I love it. It's my all-time favorite. I think I gave it a special little spot in the article, too.
Yes, absolutely. The article that you'll be able to read tomorrow, which is not Monday, but Friday.
Friday, yes.
Monday's article is funny, and I'm sure you've already read it because it's Thursday. Oh, damn, this is confusing.
So we're going by audience time today.
Yes.
So tomorrow would be by audience.
Reset your clock.
Yes. To Friday.
Yes.
Except you're hearing this on Thursday.
That's right. Big Brother is on tonight. That's how you know.
Right. Oh, good plan. Yeah. That'll work.
Did you know that not only is Big Brother on three times a week on CBS? I'm sorry to derail this, but it's on three times a week on CBS. But there's 3 hours of it every night on Showtime.
Wow.
Yeah, there's 21 hours a week of Big Brother on Showtime, and then another 3 hours. So there's 24 hours of per week, a whole day of Big Brother.
I am simply not enough of a voyeur.
and I'll connect that back by saying that it, just watching the Showtime feed of it, which I did once, I realized just how similar it is to Night Trap. I just wish, And I know I've said this before. I just wish that you were able to push a button and trap the contestants into weird Ruber, into weird, you know, contraptions.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that'd be
Rube
brilliant.
Goldberg contraption. That's what I was going for.
Yeah, that's what I was using all the time last time. Yeah,
yes. We've been over this before. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a fun podcast. It's at least it's not like, you know, some of the other podcasts I've listened to recently where, you know, all these companies know what's happening next week but can't talk about it because they're, you know, they have the non-disclosure agreement.
Oh, yeah.
And so they go the entire time answering questions like, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Could be.
Now, what we're going to do is, since we're recording this on Sunday, but it won't play until Thursday, we're just going to get all the NDA out of the way.
Yes.
And we'll just blow them all, you know?
Can you believe that Sony has announced that the PlayStation 3 is going to be free?
I know! I guarantee you nobody saw that coming.
And we're getting the whole Halo trilogy on the DS.
And they pay us $5 to get it.
So, yes, that's the stuff we're under NDA with. Sorry, guys.
Oh, don't forget about Super Mario Sunshine on Xbox Live Arcade. That's huge.
So anyway, I'll miss the Kentia Hall this year.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're missing a lot of the history, but you know, the E3 history, while interesting, isn't real wordy. It's not one of those things where it just, you know, it came and all these really interesting things happened and then it died. No, it's not, you know, it didn't get addicted to drugs. It didn't sleep with its bandmate's wife. It was born in an interesting way. It grew way too big, and then it toppled on itself.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the end of it. Somebody finally realized there's got to be a better way,
and maybe this is the better way, or maybe it's not. I guess we'll find out. I'll be reporting all week from E3, but I guess since this is Thursday, you already know that.
Yeah, the first E3 was only 2 days, and they expanded as they needed it. I think
this
is going to be the same way, where they're just going to continuously tweak it until they really get it to the point that it needs to be.
Right, and a lot of people seem to suggest that this may be the last E3. I don't think so. I think that what we'll probably see is a few years where it's trying to find its footing again, and then, then we'll probably, 3 or 4 years from now, we'll have an E3 that's 10,000 or 15,000 people, select people. It'll be, you know, maybe larger, and maybe a lot of the smaller companies will be there.
Yeah, beyond anything else, the industry needs a way to be able to show off. So E3 will always be there.
Absolutely, in one form or another.
Yeah. It's just a question of the details behind it, but, yeah. I mean, it'll always be there, definitely.
I'm interested to see... And since this is Thursday, I will have already known this. But I'm interested to see what the conferences are like this year. I know that the Microsoft one is going to be held outdoors. It's actually like at a high school or at a high school stadium, I think.
Well, they like the young girls at Microsoft.
Don't we all? doesn't it seem like that would be the Tecmo conference?
True.
Of course,
true,
Tecmo
yeah.
doesn't get a conference. Tecmo's not even going to be there. So if Ninja Gaiden 2 is going to be there, then it's going to have to be, you know, in like the Microsoft or maybe Sony booth.
No, they're too busy remaking Ninja Gaiden again.
Yes, again.
Yeah, and you know, DOA X3, they're trying to get the breast physics down this time.
But they just announced Super Swing Golf or something like that that has Ryu Hayabusa and that really busty chick. I forget her name from the Ninja Gaiden games. Not all the Ninja Gaiden games, just the new Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden Rachel.
So that's good. I think that's a PlayStation 2 game. Maybe it's Xbox 360. It didn't look like an Xbox 360 game.
My other prediction: I'm betting that at some point, say probably the second or third day, you're going to look around, and you're going to realize you really missed the Booth Babes.
I don't know. I never cared much about the Booth Babes. The most exciting thing about the Booth Babes was when Patrick and I went around and tried to get pictures of him with all of these different women, and because he was young at the time, so it didn't look nearly as stupid. It's when you get the guys that are 30 years old that, you know, should be getting laid anyway. That you know, are there, you know, with these big grins on their face next to these, you know, two, you know, double D breasts.
It's great just talking to them about the industry. I mean, they were so knowledgeable.
Yes, that's true. And if you guys haven't read the article that we did with Pat and the Booth Babes, it was called Shadow of the Booth Babe. You can just search for that on Defunct Games. Just search Shadow. And you'll get that and probably a couple of things about Shadow the Hedgehog. Which will hopefully not be there in any form whatsoever.
Ever. Ever.
Oh, man. You know, I asked people to send me ideas of what they would like to see, and somebody suggested a 2D Shadow the Hedgehog game using the Contra-style format where you just shot stuff. And that may be the worst idea I've ever heard.
No, they're getting that on the DS. It's called Contra 4.
Yeah, they get Contra 4 by the people that did SpongeBob SquarePants and Ping Pals. This is Thursday, so as you already know because it was yesterday's article, Ping Pals is the second most unnecessary game of all time.
And we won't tell you what number one is in case you haven't read it yet.
But if you haven't read it, you need to go read that. It's five pages of just unnecessary games, pure unnecessary games. And it took us a while to compile the list, and it's a fantastic list. So that's our big E3 article that week.
You've been working for that for about a year now, haven't you?
Yeah, it really all just kind of came together in the last few weeks, but the idea has been floating around there for quite a while, and I know we're completely off topic now, we're not even talking about E3 anymore, but it's that one fun little article that's in the middle of the week that everybody should go and read, I think.
Or not, but yeah, you should.
You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't. It's amazing. So yeah, that's the plan. And I think at this point we're just kind of not talking about what. So we know the history of E3. We know the future of it. That you know, it's going to still be around in one form or another. We've made our productions.
I think all we have left is just for you to go to it.
Yes, which I will have already been to it if this is Thursday and you're listening to this podcast.
And if while you're listening to this, you already know that Cyril was killed in a tragic plane accident. I had nothing to do with it.
I'm on some deserted island with a smoke monster.
And a polar bear, yeah.
Well, the polar bear's already been explained for all the Lost fans out there.
Oh, okay, well, You're out there with the stereo that will only play, you know, Don't Stop Believing.
Yes. I'm going to have a lot of TV to come back and watch.
Yeah, I'm betting you will, yeah.
24 hours of Big Brother and Pirate Master.
God.
Have you seen Pirate Master?
I have not seen.
Oh that. Man, it's the silliest but greatest thing ever. It's you know, it's like Survivor, except that the people are trying to play you know, pirates, but they're not really pirates because real pirates, you know, raped and killed people. In not necessarily in that order, and there's no raping or killing going on here. It would be cooler if the, like, you know, the people that got voted off would just be killed, but they're not. They're set adrift, and, you know, we assume that there's a boat right next to them that picks them right up. Or hopefully not. They're just in the ocean somewhere on this raft.
See, I've always wanted to see the show Cannibal, where you take 12 people and put them on a 10-foot by 10-foot island, you know, and you just leave them there for 3 months, and whoever survives, you know, gets to leave the island.
What's really funny what's really funny about Pirate Master, we should just do a completely off-topic podcast one of these days, but what's really great about Pirate Master is that it has this absolutely ridiculous voting system where, you know, they're on this boat in the middle of the ocean, and there's this huge knife, this like Crocodile Dundee style knife sticking out of a board. And then what they do to vote is they have to have like all these cards that have the people's names on them, like the people that are up for eviction.
And oh yeah.
They have to shove the cards onto this huge knife. And it's, again, on a boat in the middle of the island, or in the middle of the ocean. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's not going to take much for the boat to sway a little bit and that knife to go right through somebody's hand. And that's why I keep watching it, waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's a matter of time, right? It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the summer TV schedule. It's, yeah.
You're going to be missing so much fun.
I really am, and I'm trying to think, are there even any scripted TV shows on that are worth watching right now? I mean, besides Flight of the Conchords, of course.
No, they're all on hiatus.
Yeah, but I won't be missing any Flight of the Conchords because, tonight's an episode, and then I'll be back by next Sunday. So, I won't miss that or Entourage.
Well, thank God for Little Miracle.
Yeah. And I've already missed, like, half of the season of John from Cincinnati, which I can't get into for some odd reason. They don't say cocksucker enough.
Maybe that's what it is.
But it has Luke Perry in it.
Well, you'd think that'd be enough.
You would think. And let's see, you got and Luis Guzman, who I really like. And it's got Al Bundy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good pedigree right there. Wow.
So yeah, I just couldn't get into it though. Maybe, you know, maybe it's building to something. It's got floating people.
You would think that would be enough.
You would think so, but it's not. Did you watch any of the Live Earth yesterday?
I sure did.
5 days ago?
Yeah, I 5 days ago, right. No, I didn't. I don't know. I guess I've just kind of been through that before, you know?
Sure.
Live Aid, Band Aid.
Of course.
Real Aid, of Hands course. Across America. I mean, it's
No, absolutely. But it's funny to watch all these people, you know, all these, you know, bands come out and play songs that were hits 20 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Like UB 40.
Oh my god.
They came out and I'll give you one guess what song they played.
God, I can't even think of the name of it.
You'd be correct if you were to say Red Red Wine.
Oh my god, Red Red Wine.
Red yeah. Red Wine. Yeah.
Yeah, god. No. Tell me they were on Antarctica.
No, actually the band that was on Antarctica was called shit, where's my notepad?
Get us off this place, we're freaking cold.
They were called, I got it here, it's Noon Attack.
Wow.
And they played for a bunch of penguins.
Yeah.
No, seriously, they did. They played for a bunch of penguins, and they were really good. They were the best part of it.
Yeah, but you're not going to see Aerosmith playing in Antarctica, you know?
I don't want to see Aerosmith at all.
Well, that's... you have a very good point there. Yeah.
I'm going to think of Dead or Alive every time Aerosmith pops on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, did you play Dead or Alive 4?
No, I
haven't. Where you turn on the game, and like the first song you hear is like, you know, Jamie's Got a Gun or whatever.
Oh god, they had Aerosmith for DOA 3.
I know, but it's like it's so out of place. And the only reason I can think of what they must have done, what Tecmo must have done, is they must have timed out how long the intro was, and they must have gone to their iTunes account and then, you know, just searched for a song that was exactly that length and say, oh, it's Aerosmith. All right.
Now, does that timing include the 18-minute-long disclaimer about how you can't copy any of their material? Which I always love about their games.
Yeah. So Sting was the big headliner.
Oh, of course. Sting or the Police?
Oh, the Police. You're right, yeah. Who? The of course, everybody in the Police hates Sting.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, like the drummer used to have a big, his drum set used to say, "I hate Sting" on it. And
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And what's funny, though, is that his drummer, since, you know, they've reunited, has been talking about how terrible their concerts have been and how he feels sorry for anybody that's come to the concert.
Wow.
So they did Message in a Bottle with John Mayer on guitar, of course. And some rapper came out and rapped half of it. It was really stupid.
Oh, man.
So,
gee, I'm sorry I missed that.
It was Saturday, 5 days ago.
Well,
there was
nothing
else on. You know, you leave it. And it was on, like, four different channels. It was on all the NBC channels.
Maybe. If you're lucky, you'll get to see Sting at E3.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think my celebrity CN days at E3 are over.
He'll tell you all about how to play video games tantrically.
Yes.
Make them last.
He doesn't, you know, that's just a rumor, too. He doesn't actually practice tantric sex.
But it's such a cool rumor. I mean, why would he stop it?
I know. Yeah, that's... I mean, that... Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. But, hey, it's nice to see Carson Daly getting some work. He's just been eclipsed by Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, well, I mean, who wouldn't be? You know, I mean, how could anybody compete with Ryan Seacrest?
Yep.
He is the god of my life. Yeah.
And I think that's the quote that we want everyone to remember about you. Ryan Seacrest is the god of your life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He defines everything.
So, yeah, we've been at this almost an hour now.
I think we can wrap it up now.
And we've somewhat talked about the history of E3. We talked a little bit. We talked a little bit about some TV shows. We spoiled Lost a little bit. The flashback was a flash forward, and So I think the only thing left to do now is for me to actually edit this, get this up, and go to E3, which of course I will already be at if you're listening to this on Thursday, or if you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or one of those other days, I'll be back. So it won't make any sense.
Yeah, and if you're listening to it the day after we record it, how'd you get your hands on it?
Yeah, that's you stupid person. Don't go digging around defunct games for stuff you shouldn't be seeing. You're no better than those GameStop people that go into E3.
Don't you know that it could have a virus on it and you could pass that to your girlfriend?
Maybe what I should do. I should load it up with a virus so that it will get transferred on to anyone.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So I think that's I think this is where we end. so do you have anything extra to say, Wes?
Just, you know, have fun with E3, keep us informed, and, you know, get back safe.
I will definitely do that, and I will hope that you will be one of those people that makes sure and reads all of our stuff throughout the week, because we're going to be constantly updating, usually probably at the night, though, after we're out of E3.
Yeah, see, you're more likely to talk to the people about the things that I'm interested in, so I'll definitely keep in touch.
Yes, and it's interactive, so that with every article that we post about E3 in that E3 section, you will be able to talk to us. You'll be able to write in comments and ask us questions and suggest things that you want to see, which is pretty cool.
Always.
So I suggest you guys do that, and the address to that it should be e32007.defunctgames.com. But of course, you'll be able to find that just on the front page as well, which is just at defunctgames.com.
And even though it's Thursday, keep your eyes open because there still might be some surprises.
Yes, and we'll probably be still updating and talking about this stuff all the way through next week. I suspect that we'll still have hands-on opinionated previews all the way through the weekend, if not through next week, because we can't write about everything, and, you know, we only have two people down there. So we'll probably have that, and then I suspect that come next week we're probably going to have a lot of really interesting articles about E3 that are not, you know, that fit into our shows, our on-running feuds and our freeze frames and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that.
Sounds good.
Well, Wes, it's been fun. I hope I don't die in the plane going down there.
Well, you haven't signed the life insurance over, so I mean it's not like I inherit defunct games or anything. So
that's
I'll have to cancel that.
So for the both of us, for Wes, for me, my name is Cyril Lachelle, and we'll hopefully be here next week talking about all the retro games that we didn't know about this week, because this was recorded on Sunday. So, stay safe and keep smiling.
Be happy.
See you next week.